Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sharway. We are learning the Uloi Nishmasa and the Zerch Nishmasa. Merim Fron, Merim Baschai Mitak, Allah HaHasham, may her Neshama have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of our Torah. Amen. We are on page 194, please, of the second Sefer, if you could open up your books. So last time we spoke about, we'll just go back to the paragraph where we were last time. And recap that paragraph. So in the middle of page 194, we spent the class on this paragraph and many added sources. This lack of appreciation of greatness is related to inner coarseness. So when a person does not appreciate greatness, it's because inside they're coarse. Why do people speak in shul? Were you here last week?
Yeah.
It's not just that they don't know better. They do know better, in other words. It's rather a lack of inner... of inner sensitivity, an inability to sense the disgrace implied in such behavior. So when people they lack a subtle sensitivity, so we can talk. We're not going to go through the whole shiur again. And we're not even talking here about whether or not a person has attained genuine fear of the Creator. Forget that. You're talking about simple derech eretz. Like, are you minimally sensitive to the place in where you are? And it's a question we have to ask ourselves anytime we speak. This, anytime we act, anytime we speak, anytime we interact, are we minimally sensitive to the place where are you? When you think about it, if you were in the presence of a tzaddik or a gadol, you know, a righteous person or one of the leaders of our generation, you behave a certain way, you act a certain way, you talk a certain way, you're much more conscious of how you behave and what comes out of your mouth when you're in the presence of greatness. So we're always in the presence of Hashem. Shouldn't we be more aware, simply sensitive to where we are? This is an essential element for serving Hashem. You must attain this inner fineness. And such relevance, it's one of the traits we spoke a few weeks ago, one of the traits of the Jews. We are rachmanim, merciful, baishanim, and we had trouble defining that, bashful, or I don't want to go through, how did we just find baishanim? We had trouble defining it. We are an inner fineness, a baishan, someone who is modest, someone who is...
Humble, yes.
Modest, humble, not in your face. It's an inner fineness. It's one of the...
I think the term we use is refined.
Say it again.
Refined.
Okay, so inner fineness, that's refined. And gomei chasadim, everyone has to strive to attain this inner fineness. It's one of the most essential qualities that you must strive to acquire. It is not attained from the outside, it only comes from deep in the soul, and it's one of the marks of a Jew. Chazal have said, and we did this inside in depth. So the sages have said, we're on the bottom of page 194. The sages have said, in the period preceding the arrival of Mashiach, about a month ago, we learned this Gemara in depth. It was the first Wednesday after Sukkot, and then we went back and reviewed it the second Wednesday after Yom Tov. Chazal said, in the period preceding the arrival of Mashiach, the wisdom of scholars, and forever who is here, you will remember, will be denigrated. Those who fear sin will be loathed. There's no more Yerushamayim. Truth will disappear, and the young will humiliate the elderly. Don't listen to what will happen, and think of the times in which we live. The wisdom of scholars will be denigrated. Those who fear sin will be loathed. Truth will disappear, and the young will humiliate the elderly. So, lahavdil, because Baruch Hashem, I hope that we are mechanech our children properly in the yeshivas and in day schools. But even, for example, when my mother speaks to the kids about how they had to behave when they were in school. My mother was, both her parents were Holocaust survivors, so many of that generation, my grandparents, Aleihem Hashem, my mother went to public school, her and her sisters went to public school, and they went to Talmud Torah after they went to public school, and she said how they had to walk in the hallways. You could not make a sound walking in the hallways between classes. You had to walk single file. She tells this to my kids, single file, you couldn't make a sound. If you were caught chewing gum anywhere in the school, you had to walk down the hallway with the gum on your nose as a punishment, and then you would never do it again. Yeah. Today, I recently visited one of the schools, and I'm not saying a bad thing. There's just a whole different state of decorum. There is a certain inner fineness in general, in society as a whole, that is lacking. Truth will disappear, say Chazal. The young will humiliate the elderly. This occurs because the young man does not sense the difference between himself and the elderly man. He thinks they're equals. The young person is just as equal to, just as wonderful as, just as knowledgeable, even more knowledgeable, perhaps more knowledgeable than the elderly. This occurs because the young man does not sense the difference between himself and the elderly man. You know, one of the places where I'm zocha to lecture every week is in the Nautilus. And it's an unbelievable, it's one of my, I relish and cherish every opportunity to share Torah. It's a very unique makom in which to share Torah. Did I tell you that a lady 2 weeks ago, after the lecture, she took me and she had such a strong squeeze, but I didn't want to let it go. With a ring, she was squeezing, she says, "Tell me, dear, how much would you charge me for a private session?" So I texted the director after, and I said, "You know the lady who sits right next to the lectern in the wheelchair? How old is she?" "She's turning 100 in March."
Wow.
I hope you're invited to the birthday party.
Today, what?
I hope you're invited for the birthday party.
Azrus Hashem. Today she took my hand and she said, I had to get down because today was a longer story. So I was kneeling, not on my knees, I was crouching, whatever, down before her. She says, "You know, honey," she says, "my father, he's gone a long time," she says, "because I'm 100. This is what she tells me. She says, "He was very religious before he came here from Russia. But," she said, "I wasn't so religious. I didn't pay so much attention." She said, "I wasn't so religious." She says, "But your lectures, they make the holiday, Sukkot, Hanukkah, everything has more meaning." She's turning 100. Armeya ve'esrim shana. And in our hashkafa, sha'al avicha v'yagercha, zekeinecha v'yomulach, it's one of Moshe's lasting legacies to us. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders, and they will say to you. Furthermore, in Parshas Kedoshim, we have a number of mitzvahs dealing with the elderly. I am aware that on the level of Josh, it's talking about Talmidei Chachamim. On the level of a pshat, which is one of the ways in which the Torah is expanded upon, we're talking about simply having respect and knowing our place as younger people vis-a-vis older people. Mipnei seva takim, you should rise before an elderly person. V'hadarta b'nei zakein, and I know Rashi says zasha kana chachma. But on the level of pshat, I'm not only talking about a tamei chachma. It's just understanding my place, sensing a difference between myself and elderly man. Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over in his Parsha Parables in a series on the Torah that there was a matzav. I think it was an airplane, and there was a younger bachur traveling with an elderly grandparent, and there was a non-Jew on the plane. And they saw the respect with which this young bachur accorded the elderly grandfather. So the person said, "Let me ask you, you have so much respect for your elders." So he said, or the elderly said, I don't know. He said, "Listen, you believe we came from monkeys," not as an insult. Like evolution believes, literally, that we descended from apes. "We believe we came from giants of men." I don't mean giants in size. I mean in Godless and Yerushalayim. "We believe in Yeridas Hadoros, in the descent with every generation. So I didn't come from an ape. I came from an Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I came from Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. We all came from Noach. We don't believe in evolution. We believe we came from people who are so much greater than us. So every generation above me is a link to the past that I cannot access, no matter how much I know now. But today, Rechman Alitzan, the young man does not sense the difference between himself and the elderly person." It's reflective in the schools. You know, it's so interesting how Hashem arranges it, because my husband just showed this to us. He posted actually on one of our chats. This was posted, I don't know where, by Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg from the Boca Raton Synagogue is very, very well known. Talmid Chacham, scholar, well-respected. Rav, he does not need my compliments or accolades, but in case you haven't heard of him, which I don't even know if it's possible, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg is very chashuv. So my husband just posted this 2 days ago, and I saved it to my screenshots because I thought, this is for Shari. He posted, quote, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, good sign. Boca Raton Synagogue. Highlight of Rav Herschel Schachter's visit to Boca Raton Synagogue this past Shabbos. So Shlita, Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita is Kerei Nahara. Zasha Kana Chachma. And the question and answer, I asked, how has the Orthodox community advanced and how has the Orthodox community gone backwards? Rav Herschel Schachter thought for a moment and then he said, he knows far more Torah than his grandparents, but they had much more Yerushalayim. He then got choked up, and if you've ever traveled or heard, traveled with or been so chatir of Herschel Schachter, he's extremely emotional person, full of ahavas as well. He becomes emotional often too easily. He got choked up, and he said, we really need to work on our Yerushalayim. This is from Ephraim Goldberg. So we understand that the generations before us, maybe we have more knowledge, maybe we can do more things, maybe we have cochlear implants, and maybe we have pacemakers, and maybe we have medicine advances that they didn't have. It's great, we could put a spaceship on the moon. Like, so, okay, big deal, so. But what is our level of our Yiras Shamayim? If truth is disappearing, and Yiras Shamayim, and those who fear sin will be low, then the youth will humiliate the elderly. And we think that we have more respect going forward instead of going back. So we have our priorities totally wrong. This occurs because the young man, and it was so just, you know, crouching before this woman, and she's telling me how the learning enhances her observance of the holidays. It's a schuss that I can't, I don't know why I'm so, and I can't put in words. This woman's mamish almost 100 years old. We have to know the difference between myself and an elderly person. It could be that a young person does not even intend to disgrace the older person. Sometimes they do, by the way. Sometimes there is no respect, and we do intend to disgrace an older person. But sometimes you don't intend to disgrace the older person. But sometimes you simply have no awareness that an older person is on a completely different level than a youth. We do not believe in evolution. I did not come from apes. I came from the greatest of human beings. And every generation farther away from Har Sinai is a generation that is lacking less and less. Like Professor Schlechter-Schlieder said, I might know far more Torah. But they had far more Yiras Shamayim. And the extreme example is if you look in Sefer Bereishis, in Perek Yud Tes. Perek Yud Tes of Sefer Bereishis in Parshas Vayera is the story of Sodom and Amorah. So the angels go from visiting with Avram and Sarah, they go to Sodom and Amorah. So you all know what happens. Lot also welcomes the angels in, just like Avram welcomed them in, with some differences. And he urges the angels to come inside, and they come to his house, and he makes them a mishtah, a feast, and matzos. He bakes them, and they eat. Okay, Terem Yishkavu, the angels have not yet laid down, or they just about laid down. V'anshe ha'ir, anshe Sodom, nasobu al habayis. The people of the city, the people of Sodom, and we know Sodom was a place where there was no respect for anybody else, surrounded the house. Mina arva adzakein. So there is significance when everything in the Torah is significant. Every lever, every word, every phrase, what precedes a phrase, what comes after a phrase. What do you notice here? The people of the city, the people of Sodom surrounded the house. Mina arva ad zakein, from youth to elderly. Kol ha'am mikatza, the entire people from every end. What do you notice? So you're smiling, so you notice.
I've heard it before.
Okay, go ahead, so share.
The youth went ahead of the elders.
Generally, you would think it should say Zakein Tana'ar. Okay, in this case, they weren't going for a tzanua purpose, but nevertheless, you should know your place. You should know where you stand. You should know, you know, I teach in many venues. I teach a number of parasha classes specifically for seniors, and sometimes I walk in at the same time as an attendee, and they always want me to go first. And I always say, please, you have to go first. And you have to know your place. Minar vad Zakein. When it comes to Sodom, nobody knows their place. Minar vadzakin, the youth first, then the elderly. Call am, and they call to Lot, and they say, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so we will know them. So Rashi says, b'mishkav zachar, they did not mean we'll get to know their background. They meant it in a very inappropriate fashion. So Lot goes out to the entrance of the door, and the door closes behind him, and he says, please, look what he calls him, alna achai. What does that mean? Acha, you call someone your brother when you're of like mind with him. He's close to them. Listen, my brothers, don't do anything bad. I have two daughters. They have never been with a man. I will bring them out to you. You could do whatever you want to them. But to these men, please don't do anything because they're my guests. So clearly we have lost all sensitivity. What?
Okay.
Okay. There's a reason that Sodom deserves to be destroyed. Vayomer, okay? And they said, approach away. And they said, approach away. Everyone saying, move away. In other words, approach away. We're going to knock down the door. And they say to each other, this one came to live here, and now he's judging us. We're going to do bad. And they press exceedingly against the door to break the door. And the men inside send forth their hand, meaning the angels, and they bring Lot inside, and they close the door. The Eshash Anashim Asher Pesach Abayis. Okay, so where's Lot now? Back inside. He's been saved, and because now the people of the town want to harm him. And the men who have closed the door, the angels closed the door, the men who are outside the house, hiku bisanveirim, they hit with blindness, mikatan va'ad gadol. How were they punished?
Same order.
Exactly. Yeah. So Rashi says, Mekadim Agadol means they were hit with blindness from the youth or the young to the older, and they can't find, they become weary from trying to find the entrance to the door. So Rashi says, Haktanim hitchilu ba'aveira techila. The young ones instigated the sin first, as it says, Minar vadzakim. When they come to breaking down the door, they're saying, we want to have Mishkav Zachar, homosexual relations with the men, send them out to us. It starts with the youth and it ends with the elderly. There's no derech eretz. Lefichach hitchila ha'puranus mehem. Therefore, when it comes to the puranus, they are punished first. They went first, they did not know their place. Not that you should ever know your place for any of this, you should try and run away. But it's an indication, furthermore, of the depravity and the lack of respect that existed in the environment of Sodom. And the environment in which we live certainly affects us as well. And we need to know our place. This occurs because the young man does not... Oh, you're waiting to say something. I'm sorry. I could tell. I apologize.
There's an article in Aish written by Rabbi Blesch, and it has to do with the humiliating the elderly.
Oh.
There's this trend. It's ridiculous.
I'd like to see if you could send me the link.
Yes, it's on... It's apparently Amazon is selling these t-shirts and this memorabilia, and on these shirts it says, "Okay, Boomer." That's a new slogan. In other words, that when millennials say, "Okay, Boomer," it's very sarcastic. It's to baby boomers saying, "Well, you've had your day in the sun, so move along." So sure enough, I hadn't heard of this. And I asked my son, he hadn't heard of it either. I look on Amazon, it's like it's all over the place.
So there's an article on Aish exactly about this?
On Aish about that. Okay, Boomer. In other words, that the millennials are saying, "Well, you boomers are...
You're like, over the hill, move over."
You're over the hill, you're done. Ridiculous.
It's a problem. Chazal say that in the time period preceding the arrival of Mashiach, this is one of the lowlinesses, that's not a word, I don't know what, lack of respect, immorality that will exist in our society. Why? Because a young man does not sense the difference between himself and the elderly man. In fact, maybe he thinks he's even better. You had your day in the sun, you're over the hill, the sun is setting, very nice, move over. He doesn't even intend to disgrace the older person. He has no awareness that an older person is on a completely different level than a youth. Look at that, you're at a different level. It's one thing to intend. You intend to disgrace, but you realize that they're on a higher level than you. There's an even lower level than that when you act. You don't even think that there's anything better about a zaken than you. This is an inner sensitivity in the soul, not something that can be explained in words. Such a person does not sense the difference between a man of 20 and one of 70. If you want to serve Hashem, you must attain this. You must know how to relate differently to different levels. Otherwise, there is no way to work on Yira. Yira, again, being fear, awe, reverence. So in other words, what we're learning here is that when one has Yira, fear and reverence for human beings, when you have respect for human beings, then you will ultimately transfer those feelings vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if you lose all respect for human beings down here, then you also forget to have respect and reverence and awe and fear for Hashem. Yira comes from a sense of the relationship between a higher level and a lower level. Think of that. What's awe? What instills awe?
Respect.
I didn't hear.
Respect.
Yeah, but the awareness that
someone is greater than you.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yira results from the fact that you are aware that someone is greater than me. That's why you feel a sense of trepidation, a sense of that person is greater than me. A 100-year-old woman, and may have asked him, she says, "I'm 100, but the doctor told me she's turning 100, but Ezra's Hashem in March." You have to sense that someone's greater than you. Otherwise, there's no era. Why do I fear? I don't fear if the principle is the same as me. And think how teachers are sometimes treated. It's a busha uchlima. Sometimes, unfortunately, in our schools also. It's mamash a busha. It's because we don't sense that anyone's on a higher level. So if I'm an equal, I could treat whoever I want. If you're higher than me, then I have some sense of awe and trepidation. That's the only thing that will engender Yira. A sense of the relationship between a higher level and a lower level. You're higher, I'm lower. Without it, one can feel I and Hashem will stroll together in Gan Eden. In other words, you think you're an equal to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chas V'Shalom, without Yira, not terror, but the ability to appreciate someone greater. It is most difficult to attain Yira of the Creator. Yes.
No.
You must work to be sensitive and pure, so you will relate to things with proper dignity, depending on the situation. So I just want to quote from Masilas Yesharim. I was at the cave of the Ramchal this past summer in Tzfat. He's buried right next to all held over, I guess you could say, from Rabbi Akiva. I don't know if I was ever there. I don't think I was ever there before. Yes?
The pasuk Ekev Anava Yiras Hashem. In order to have Yira, a person needs to have Anava.
Ekev Anava, the heel of Anava, is Yiras Hashem.
Ekev Anava,
Yiras Hashem. So which one precedes which?
Probably Anava.
Maybe they go both hand in hand.
In order for you to recognize that someone's greater,
then you have humility. But also, if you have humility, you recognize that someone's greater than you.
Well, that means you can't have.
Yira without Anava. That's what the pasuk. I don't know where it's from.
You can't have Yira without Anava. That's true. You cannot sense that someone's greater than you without humility. Can you have humility without Yira, though?
Probably
not. Really.
No.
Not really. Okay, very nice. Very relevant. Yes, you were saying something?
No.
You don't want to share with us?
No.
Okay. I want to quote, actually, from the Maseilas Yesharim. So I'm slowly, when I have some spare moments, learning through the Maseilas Yesharim, Bli Neder, Bli Ein Hara, I should say. So I'm not this far. I'm only in Perek Yud Aleph. But I skipped to Perek of Dalet for the purpose of our learning. Just I opened up to the chapter of Beveyur, clarifying Yiras Hachet. How do I acquire Yira? How do I acquire fear of sin? So first of all, the Ramchal distinguishes between different levels of Yira, which we have gone through in our Sefer. So this is what the Ramchal says. Okay? There are different levels. First of all, there's Yiras HaOnesh. What's Yiras HaOnesh? We discussed this a long time ago, if anyone remembers. What's Yiras HaOnesh? I don't do a sin because I am
afraid of the punishment.
Afraid of the consequences. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of God. I don't have that sense of Yira where he is greater than me and I'm low. I just don't want to be fired from my job, or I don't want to get in trouble, or I don't want to pay a fine. Yiras HaOnesh, kipshuta. Yiras HaOnesh is pashut. It's, how do you translate pashut? Simple. Sha'adam Yira me'avar espir Hashem. A man fears transgressing the work of God, the word of God, Elokav, his God. Mipnei ha'anashim asher la'averus. Why anashim, not with an aleph? With an ayin, because of the onesh, the punishment that is associated with this avera, imla guf v'imla nefesh. I don't want my body to be harmed. I don't want my soul to be harmed. So therefore, if I talk lashon hara, I might be fired. So I don't want to be fired. If I chalila v'chas, two married people are together with not their spouses, they might be found out, and the community might know, might bring shame to their children, and they don't want anybody to know. So you don't do it, not because you don't desire a chalila. We should never know from such a thing, but because you're afraid of the consequences. This is the first degree. V'hine zos kala v'dai. This is certainly vadai kal. What's kal? Easy. Why is it easy? Because if you really contemplate the consequence and the punishment of sin, you're not going to sin. Nobody wants to be sent to the corner. Ki kol adam ohev es atzmo. Every man loves himself. V'yare lenafsho. And you naturally have an instinctive need and drive to protect yourself. Ve'ein davar sheyarchik also me'asus davar echad yoser min ha'yira. There is nothing that will keep you away from sinning more than fear. Fear of what? Fear of consequence. Fear of punishment. Therefore, I fear sin. Shelo tevo'ehu bo ezara. I don't want anything bad to befall me. I don't know, an example would be, let's say someone who wears a seatbelt. They don't wear a seatbelt because they understand the law. They wear a seatbelt, or is this a good example?
Well, a child.
Okay, so what do you mean?
The child doesn't understand the law.
The child?
Doesn't understand the law.
But they do it because they're afraid. Mommy said, you're not going to get a lolly if you don't do this.
Or mommy's not going to drive you anywhere if you don't.
Say it again.
Or mommy's not going to drive.
Yeah, mommy. This right mommy here. Also. I mean, it's not an option. But I'm pulling over the car and I'm not going to drive. Okay, so what's the consequence? I want to drive the car. Very good, like a child. There's no understanding of that this ennobles you, that there is a degree of dignity to wearing a seatbelt that will save your life. Simply, I want a driver, I want the lolly, whatever it is. So therefore, I don't want something bad to happen to me. Ve'ein yirazu, everyone's going to like this last line. Are you listening carefully? Why are you smiling? You learned Perek Chavdal Maseilas Yesharim? Ve'ein yirazu ru'uya ela la'ame ha'aretz. Who keeps this one? Who is motivated by this degree of sin? But there's another one. The ame ha'aretz and the women. Ein yirazo ru'uya ela la'ame ha'aretz v'la nashim, asher da'atan kala. that this degree of yira only is appropriate for or will motivate the Am HaAretz. What is that? Ignoramus? You want to see? You don't believe me that it's inside?
No, I'm looking for water. I'm going to see if Esther has.
Oh, I'm okay, thank you. Vila Nashim, and for women, because Da'atan Kala, their minds are weak. Ach ein, eina yiras ha-chachamim ve'anshe das. This is not the degree to which chachamim, wise people, and men of discernment strive. So if the Amei Ha'aretz, those who do not know any better, and the women, Shadatein Kalos, their minds are weak, they could be motivated not to sin simply because you're afraid of punishment. So, we are, Baruch Hashem, generally in the times in which we live, on a different level. We are very fortunate to live in a time where there is so much access to Torah learning and growth. So nobody, Chalila, should take this personally. But we understand that the first degree of yira is you're just afraid, because I don't want something bad to happen to me. Hamin Hasheni. Oh. Hu yiras haromimus. From Rome, exalted. And this is what we are talking about, that you have to have some realization that there are things that are higher and there are things that are lower. Yiras HaRomimus, how would that be translated? All of his exaltedness from Rome. God is Ram al kol goyim Hashem. V'hu sha'adam yirchak min ha'chata'im. Man stays far away from sin. V'lo ya'asim, and he will not sin. Mipnei kvodo ha'gadol yisparach shemo. Why? Because of God's great honor, kvodo gadol, his great honor, his baruch shmo, blessed be his name. So I'm not even thinking about what the punishment is. I'm just thinking about, I don't want to bring insult, so to speak, to the glory of God in this world. Ki eich yachel o eich ya'arav libo shabasa v'dam shafal v'nimas. How is it possible that one can commit a desecration? Yachel, he can make something profane. He can cause a sin. Abasar v'dam is shafel v'nimas. Shafel is lowly. Nimas is, how does he translate nimas? Despicable. V'hine la'asos davar neged v'tzono shel baruch yisparach v'yisal shemo. Could such a despicable, lowly man commit a trespass and do something against the ratzon of the boreis, the creator, blessed be his name? V'hine zos ha'yira eina kolkach kala la'hasig osa. The first type of yira, it's very easy. Does anyone want to be punished? Does anyone want to have some physical affliction or a spiritual affliction? You're afraid of what's going to happen to you. But this type of yira, eino kol kach kala. It's not so easy. You have to work. Special, simple people. We're in the category of, I'm in the category of an Am HaAretz, and I'm in the category of the Nashim, so I have two strikes against me. And how do you have to work? Your whole life. Lahasi goes, so it's not easy to capture, to catch, to acquire this kind of yira. Ki lo tivaleid ela mitoch yedia. It is only born, tivaleid. This type of yira is born from mitoch yedia. What's yedia?
Knowledge.
The haskala. Not the Haskalah movement, like from Seichel, the root word. I know you don't have it in front of you, but the word is Seichel there. So if a person has a degree of discernment and understanding and wisdom, they contemplate a fraction of the greatness of God. Lihit bonain, to pay attention. Al romimuso, yisparach, pay attention to the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'al pechisuso shel Adam, and the defects in man. You pay attention to your defects. And then you think of the Tov v'hametiv. It's a terrifying thought. I'm talking about myself. It's very frightening. That should engender yira. Forget what will happen to me, chas v'sham. But what about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me everything that I have? From my eyes. An eye doctor brought me yesterday. I was there for 2 hours. Between our tests, this, that, Baruch Hashem, everything was okay. But one of the tests, she says, okay, look at the green asterisk. Don't blink, don't blink, don't blink, don't blink. So the first time I messed up, I said I blinked. Then it's hard. You know what happens when you're told not to blink? You blink. So I think we had to do it 3 times. Finally, I said, Hashem, you're in control of my eyes. You're pokech irim. I can't blink. So I didn't blink, Baruch Hashem. So when you think of everything the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you, gives us, give me, this yira is only born from yediya v'haskala, knowledge and discernment, to pay attention to the exaltedness of God and to the defects of man. That's exactly what our mechaber said. You can only acquire this wisdom when you are aware of the difference in greatness between the exalted and the lowly. Kol eila dvarim mitodos haseichel, hamevin Umaskil. All of these areas of fearing God in this way are an outgrowth, and we told those, will be born from your seichel, your, how do you translate seichel, ladies? Intelligent mind that pays attention and that thinks, v'hi ha'yira asher samnuha l'chelak sheni. This is the second category of yira. Me'achon mechalke ha'chasidus asher zacharnu. Midas ha'chasidus, the pious attain, not the ameyar, it's not the woman, but those on a high degree of piousness acquire this type of yira. Ba'yevo sha'adam, through this man will be shamed, the yachrad, and that then you will come to fear. What's yachrad? Charada gadola. What?
Tremble.
To tremble. But amdo lifnei, when you stand before Kono, your Maker, lihispalel, whether it is to pray, ola avod kol avoda, whether it is to do any type of divine service, any type of mitzvah, when you contemplate before you are standing, hi hayira hamishubachas. This degree of fear or reverence or az mishubachas, what is that?
Praiseworthy.
Shanishtabchu b'chasidei olam. The pious ones of the world were praised through this type of yira. V'hi masha Moshe medaber v'omer. And this is what Moshe said in Sefer Dvarim, Perech Avches. L'yira es Hashem hanichbad v'hanora. You should have yira, not because of the onesh, and not necessarily even because of the avera. You have reverence for Hashem. Hanichbad. Glorified from kavod, the hanora and awesome. This is Hashem, and this is the type of yira. He goes on to say that we will clarify. Okay, I'm not going to go on. That was just from the hakdama, really, of the chapter. But we understand that there are two different types of yira, and we have to work on sensitivity and pureness. Like the mechaber here says, it's not terror. It's the ability to appreciate lahavdil val vayavdalis between a person who's greater than me, someone greater. And if you've ever been in the presence of gedolim, you know how you feel in the presence. We saw in the summer, Rabbi Tzinister Elson. She is a daughter of Rav El Yashev, a sister to Rabbi Tzin Batsheva Kanievsky Alal Sham. She is a neighbor. She was a neighbor to Rav Steinman. And to go into her apartment and sit around her dining room, and she was telling stories of her father, Rav El Yashev Zatzal, and little old woman who's a giant. And you appreciate it's a link to the past. And someone who's so much greater than you, it's so awe-inspiring. You feel that sense of yira. It doesn't mean fear. It means unbelievable respect that leads to an awesomeness. So lahavda alf alfei avdalos, for the Ribono Shel Olam who gave me every single thing that I have. You must work to be sensitive and pure so you will relate to things with proper dignity depending on the situation. Any questions or comments before we start the next section? Okay, feelings of the body and feelings of the soul. I just want to tell you one thing as an introduction to this next section. I don't exactly understand page 196, okay? We're not up to page 196 yet, but I'm just telling you that I don't understand that. I read it over a few times. Okay, we'll learn it together. We will explain this a little more deeply. Oh, sorry, the title is called Feelings of the Body and Feelings of the Soul. We will explain this a little more deeply. Feelings are rooted in the soul, but become manifest in the body. I'm also reading, learning through the Sefer called Sparkling Speech by Rav Alyosha Sander. Why are you smiling?
Yeah, that we started learning it on Shabbos.
Oh, very nice. So I'm learning through it. And it's interesting because in the chapter that I just read, I think I just finished chapter 2, it's an excellent Sefer. Rabbi Sander lives in Far Rockaway. He's a Rav Mashpia, a Rabbi at Shar Yashuv. He also have a Kehila. And he says something very interesting. He says this exact point in regard to speech. Speech emanates in the soul, and then its expression is given by the body, but the speech really comes from the soul. It's a byproduct of the soul, the neshama, and we know that from the person, from the moment man was created in a pasuk that I oft quote, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Eser Adam Afra Min HaAdama Vayipach Ba'apam Nishmas Chayim Vayi Adam LeNefesh Chay Rishis 2:7. God formed man dust from the soul, He blew into his nostrils the soul of life. A man became a speaking spirit. And Targum Unkos, no, that's not what it says. It says man became a living spirit. And Targum Unkos famously said, "V'habas ba'adam l'ruach memalala." Man becomes a speaking spirit. So the pasuk says, "V'yih adam l'nefesh chaya." Nefesh referring to the soul. The man has a soul of life. And Targum Unkos says, man is a speaking spirit. So this is proof. Your soul is the source of your speech. Listen, Vayihi Adam LeNefesh Chaya. Last words of the pasuk: man became a living nefesh chaya, soul of a live creature. Targum Unkos says, "What's the soul of a live creature? Ruach Memalala, speaking spirit. A medaber. Man's essence is defined by the speech that emanates from the soul." We will explain this a little more deeply. Feelings are rooted in the soul, just like speech, but become manifest in the body. For example, a person has the quality of love. Okay, it's true. This stems, by the way, talking about how we started, we said in the beginning of this year, we are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Golnei Chasadim. It's extremely interesting, if you pay attention in the Torah, to the commentary of Unkos. How does Unkos translate love? Anyone know? What is love?
Giving.
Giving. What did you say?
Ahav.
Ahav. No, that's the root.
Ahav means to give.
So I'm going to show you an example. Vayahav, this week's parasha. Vayahav Yaakov Esrachel. It's 29:18, Chav Tes Yud Ches. And Yaakov loved Rachel, Vayomer, and he says to his father-in-law, his future father-in-law, "I will work 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." Vayahav Yaakov es Rachel, says Targum Unkos. Urechem Yaakov yas Rachel. What's the root? Urechem. Urechem Yaakov.
Pity.
To what?
No,
what did you say?
Pity.
Not pity, not pity. To be merciful or compassionate. To have pity is not to love somebody, but to have mercy. Pity, I say that because pity indicates you feel like someone's a nebuch.
Right.
Sorry. It's true, it's true, right?
Case.
Say it again.
Nebuch case, a chesed case.
What'd you say?
A chesed case.
That's exactly right. But that's not what this means. It means to feel mercy, to feel compassionate towards that other person.
Wait, did you say rochem? Is that what you said?
Yes.
So isn't that
like rachamim?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
That's exactly right. So Targum Unkos, if you pay attention in Chumash, when it uses the root word for love in Chumash, Targum Unkos translates it as the Shoresh Reish Ches Mem. That really, when you love somebody, you are merciful or compassionate towards them. Yes.
I think we might have discussed this at some point, also because a rechem is a womb.
Yeah.
And
that's exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the mother grows the child. She is the greatest source of love. In through compassion, the child grows in the rechem of the mother. That's exactly correct. Yes. You were waiting to say something at the end. Another example. Vayivieha Yitzchak hala Sara imo. Yitzchak brings her to the tent of Sarah's mother. Last pasuk of Perech of Danachai Sara. Vayikach es Rivka. He takes Rivka. Vatehilo the isha. She is to him for a wife. Vayieha veha. He loves her. Targum Unkos. Virach vir. It's Aramaic. Please understand. Whatever. Virachama. He feels mercy. His mercy is aroused. His compassion is aroused. Now think of when you love somebody. It's true. You feel mercy or compassion. When they're hurt, how do you feel?
You feel hurt.
Someone you love is hurt.
Like
what?
Empathy.
You feel hurt.
It's empathy more than...
Sympathy. Empathy more than... Okay, maybe that's a good word.
Wow.
Empathy more than sympathy. It's not that, I feel bad for you. It's that you're hurting also. Because you... Rechem, the source of mercy, the source of growth. That's what love is. Feelings are rooted in the soul but become manifest in the body. For example, a person has the quality of love. What does this stem from? The soul's love of Hashem, the Jewish people and Torah. So I must share a fascinating piece by Rav Soloveitchik where he talks about why people have Ahavas Hashem. Why do we love Hashem? Let's finish the paragraph first. For example, a person has the quality of love. What does the whole quality of love stem from? That the neshama loves Hashem. So whoever you love in this world, it's actually an outgrowth of the fact that you have some degree of Ahavas Hashem. Whether you're cognizant of it or not cognizant of it, and the Rav, based on the Ramban, is going to explain it for us. so beautifully why a human being instinctively loves Hashem. This stems from the soul's love of Hashem. You love Hashem, you love the Jewish people, and you love Torah. When the soul enters the body captures this love for its own end. So when the body uses the love for its own end, it can become corrupt. That's when people can run into big trouble. When the love is physically driven, solely, get it, no pun intended, physically, solely, I mean S-O-L-E-L-Y, when the love is solely, physically driven, because the love is captured by the body, then you run into trouble. Now you misdirect your love, and it's used in an inappropriate, it's very possible it could be used in an inappropriate fashion. A child, interesting, because you brought up a child before, a child with rare exceptions, what does he love? He loves his candies, he loves games. I don't think it's true that there are rare exceptions. I think children do love family members, but okay. A child with rare exceptions has love only. I don't think that's so true. You think that's so true? That a child only loves candy, games, and such? I'm asking you a question.
It might not be translated right.
Say it again.
This is a translation.
You're so cute. Whenever I have a question, that's what you tell me. But that's what he says.
It doesn't sound right.
Maybe it's referring to a very, very young child, like a toddler who can't really make a discernment or like a sophisticated.
Okay.
Okay.
A child with rare exceptions has love only for, I'm not sure. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in Hesichos Musar has such a beautiful piece. I believe it's in Parshas Masai, in the journeys of the children of Israel. Al pi Hashem Yisu v'al pi Hashem Yachanu. No, that's at the end of Shmos. That's not in Masai. Eila Masehem l'motzehem al pi Hashem, but I believe it says al pi Hashem Yachanu, pi Hashem Yisu, but it could be totally wrong at the end of Shmos. Anyway, it says that their journeys and their travels were by the word of God when they were in the desert. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz gives the following mashal. Even for a young child, I don't think it's so true, because even a baby instinctively knows its mother. And they can't define the word love or say the word love, but a child understands the relationship with the primary caregiver. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, if you ask a baby, where are they at the beginning of a 500-mile journey, they will say, I'm in my mother's arms. And if you ask the child at the end of the 500-mile journey, where are you? He will say, I'm in my mother's arms. He won't say, I'm in New York. Now I'm at the rest stop in Saratoga. Now I'm in Rochester. Now I'm in Corning. Now I made it to Buffalo. Now I'm in Toronto. A child will tell you, I'm with my mother. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, what does it mean, al pi Hashem Yisu, al pi Hashem Yachanu? Wherever the Bnei Yisrael go, where are they? They were in Pi Achiros. They were by Baal Tzafon. They were by Maso Meriva. Where am I? There's one central location where a Jew is always grounded. I am with Hashem. When the soul, so a child with rare exceptions, okay, I don't know what the actual Hebrew is, but I don't understand the statement, but it doesn't matter. A child has love only for candies, games, and such. What is the fundamental difference between the feelings of the body and those of the soul? First of all, if a person only goes by feeling of the body, you're going to end up in very big trouble. That's when we transgress, when we cross lines. The soul has spiritual feelings. They must be subtle. Since the soul's nature is submissiveness, so somebody said before, humility, and what did you say? Refinement. Again, we have a submissiveness to our nature, a certain, what did we call it before? Baishanus. It cannot be coarse. I am not starting the piece by Salvechik now. I definitely cannot get through it in the 30 seconds that I'm already over. So we're going to end here. Let me see something. Yes, we're going to end here. And Be'ezrus Hashem, yes, a comment.
I think what he means to say is that, you know, the id, the ego, and the superego, children are more like an id. It's more like survival. Their love is very selfish, and it's not very evolved. And then as the child grows and they mature, they get their ego, and there's partial survival. And there's the superego. You really get a havana of, you know, what it is to really be a mature...
Okay, so that's very nice. That's true. Children are egocentric. I need my diaper changed right now. I need tea right now. They're not going to starve, chas v'shalom, if they wait 20 minutes. So why are they screaming? Because the world revolves around me. But really, to love is to understand that the world revolves around somebody else. Not only you. Yes, very nice.
I think also the love of mother child has for their family is the part that's from their soul.
Say it louder.
The love that a child has for, let's say, their mother I think what the Mechaber is referring to as from the soul, that is not a gashmiya sticka type of feeling versus
it's just a connection of the neshama
of candy and whatever. You know, when he has a choice of listen to mommy, eat my broccoli, or have candy, they're going to always pick the candy, even though they love their mother.
Okay. Yes, it could be all right. I was just stuck on that sentence, but don't worry, page 196, I really don't understand.